Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Welcome to Labors of Love. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with Dr. Sandra McCutcheon, who is the religious coordinator at St. Thomas More. How are you, Sandra?
Just fine. Thank you.
Well, it's exciting to have you here. We're going to speak today about Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. We haven't spoken about that before, but it is a method of teaching, and particularly here in the Diocese of Corpus Christi, we use it in our religious formation programs. So I'm excited about speaking about Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, or CGS. Let's go ahead and get started. Can you share a little bit about yourself?
Sure. Well, I'm a physician, and I'm married to a physician. We have four children, ages 9 to 18. And during the 23 years that we've been married, I converted to Catholicism. Then I encountered Catechesis of the Good Shepherd and became hooked. And so during this time, I've been working in Catechesis of the Good Shepherd and raising my children in this program of religious formation. And during this time, I also decided to retire so that I could devote myself more fully to my family and to my ministry.
Wonderful. So you said between 9 and 18?
Yes.
Wonderful. I have two daughters. They're 8 and 5. And it's always a pleasure to meet a stay-at-home mother. And obviously you had a career and you just retired so that you could stay home with your family. So
yes.
God bless you for that. So let's go ahead and talk about Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. I am curious, what got you hooked? What got you attracted to it? And then we'll move on to the history of CGS.
Well, it was word of mouth. A friend and I were on the playground and she was telling me about this great religious program that they had at St. Patrick Church. And she said, you need to go get your son enrolled. And so I went in and I met with Yvonne Youngblood. And before I left her office, she had signed up my son for CCD. She had sold me two books and she signed me up as a helper.
Wow. So that was rather convincing then.
It
she
sure
must
was.
Have done a good job. Well, and it is quite attractive. I know when I first started here around 3 years ago, I was introduced to Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. I went and visited an atrium and I even received some training in level one. And it was just such a pleasure to be a part of that process. So let's go ahead and talk about the history of Catechesis of the Good Shepherd.
Well, the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd began in Rome a little over 50 years ago. There were two women, a doctor of Semitic languages and a Montessorian, and they were asked to help a child with some religious education. Not knowing where to begin, they began with the Bible. And so they
good start, by the way.
Good start. And so they began working with this children, followed by this child, followed by other children, and soon began to realize the religious potential of the child, which is very great. They, over the years, began to develop a program called Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. It has grown and has expanded to many other countries, as well as the United States of America, and has reached Catholic schools as well as parishes.
Are you able to describe in a nutshell what Catechesis of the Good Shepherd is?
Catechesis of the Good Shepherd is a program of religious formation for children. It works with children 3 to 12 years old. And it is based on two pillars, you could say, the Bible and liturgy. Catechesis of the Good Shepherd takes place in a very unique place called an atrium, where the children, child is introduced to the most basic elements of the faith. It uses Montessori materials and child size materials. It shows respect for the child and the relationship between the child and God. So the focus of the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd is really on that relationship between God and the child.
So when you say Montessori, for our listeners to get a little more familiar with it, what is Montessori?
Montessori is a method of teaching, which uses hands-on material and other principles to support the child in their needs. The young child has needs such as the need for repetition, the need for space around things, the need for silence, as well as to be able to work with their hands. You could say that the young child learns through working with their hands.
And it's great. When I did visit the atrium, everything was, first of all, at their level. Everything was handmade with precision and care and prayer. And they had different areas. So they might have had an altar in one place. They might have had a nativity in another place. And we're talking about little clay models of the different figures in Bible stories, where the teacher would first give a lesson, and then the child would go and repeat that lesson as they saw fit. So really, like you say, meeting the child at their level, discovering their potential, which is a little different from maybe some of the education we've received, where you open a book, you read, maybe you'll talk about it, the teacher will teach about it, and that's it. You close the book, end of class. So what then are just some of the things that you really enjoyed from this type of teaching method?
Well, even though the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd focuses on the religious needs of the child, it is for adults as well. Jesus told us that we must turn and become like little children to enter the kingdom of heaven. And so in the atrium, when we're listening to God with children, we really are doing just that. We are journeying with the child towards God. We are less of a teacher than we are a co-listener with the child. And so it really is freeing for the catechist to get out of the way and let the Holy Spirit work.
While offering guidance as well, both of them are learning. While the child is learning, the teacher is also learning. And so it's mutual respect, it's mutual giving, mutual learning. So I know when I took that level one training, I kept wondering, well, why are they teaching me how to clean a leaf on a plant? But it's also showing respect for all of your environment and your surroundings, and our children need to learn about that.
They sure do.
Go ahead and speak to me about some of the other applications of Catechesis of the Good Shepherd.
Well, even though the materials and the presentations are geared towards the needs of the child between 3 and age 12, we've used these materials and these presentations with children of all ages. We've also used the presentations for retreats and talks. We use them when we are preparing the parents of the children who come to bring their children for First Holy Communion and Reconciliation. We've used it in RCIA and other places. So you can see that it can be used for any age.
So are you currently a teacher in Catechesis of the Good Shepherd?
I'm a catechist,
You're
yes.
a catechist? Okay. So tell me, kind of from beginning to end, how would you begin and end a class?
In the beginning, we greet the child at the door, and we make eye contact and have a little bit of small talk with them. Sometimes we begin in a group setting with all of the children and maybe singing prayer, followed by a meditation on a verse from Scripture or another presentation from Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. Other times we greet the children at the door, welcome them in, and they go on and do their own chosen work. At the time necessary, we will gather the children individually for lessons or in small groups for presentations, and then leave them to continue to do their personally chosen work.
So when you notice that a child really didn't get the lesson, what do you do?
That depends on the age. We respect the child to the extent that when they don't really get the lesson, we see that maybe we didn't give it correctly.
Okay.
And so we can choose to reteach the lesson at a later time and help and guide that child and support that child in their work at the time.
Well, and I appreciate that as well, and I'm sure the child appreciates it. And it seems as though you do it in a non-condemning fashion.
Exactly.
Right.
With respect for the child.
Yeah. Let me ask you, has there been an occasion where you just really fell in love with a particular child because you knew that they got it and this was the perfect method for them, and they just, you know, their eyes lit up when it was time to start class? Can you share an experience like that?
Well, sometimes our greatest fulfillment is later when a parent comes to us and tells us of the things that their child said at home, or brings us a drawing that reflects what they heard in the atrium that day. And then we know, yeah, they really got it. On the other hand, I've been so fortunate to have all four of my children in Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. And so it's really a part of our life, a part of our relationship with God. And I can see that it has made wonderful changes in my own children.
Wonderful. We're going to take a quick break. Stay with us on Labors of Love.
This is Labors of Love.
Catholic Engaged Encounter Weekends are an opportunity for couples preparing for marriage and couples married civilly for less than a year and seeking convalidation to concentrate exclusively on one another, free of tensions, pressures, and the distractions of daily life. These weekends are designed to give couples an opportunity to talk honestly and openly about their future together, to explore weaknesses, strengths, desires, ambitions, goals, education, money, children, family, relationships with God, and so much more. Married couples and a priest will present a series of ideas to be explored. Mass and confession are available as well. The next Engaged Encounter Weekend is set for August 17th and 18th at Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center on Lantana. For complete details, call the Diocese Office of Family Life, 882-6191, or visit diocesecc.org/family life.
Welcome back to Labors of Love. Again, I'm here with my guest, Dr. Sandra McCutcheon, who is Religious Coordinator at St. Thomas More Parish, and we've been speaking about the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, just a wonderful program here in the Corpus Christi area and surrounding areas, which uses Montessori-based methods to teach catechesis, to teach about our Lord. So earlier we spoke about this being a hands-on method, hands-on approach. The children are actually able to interact with the lesson, so to speak. So can you share with me why the materials are so important?
Well, you or I could open the Bible and listen to a passage in Scripture or go back to the Mass as every day of the week if we chose, in order to meditate more deeply on something. And the child cannot do that unless there is someone there to read to them and read a passage of Scripture again and again. And it is through these materials that the child can prolong the meditation that was begun with their catechist and go on thinking deeply about a passage of Scripture or a moment in the liturgy.
So, give me some examples of some of the different areas in an atrium.
Well, there are four focal points in the atrium, the first being the altar, the tabernacle, and all the articles of Mass. The second focal point is a prayer table where we gather together for prayer. And there's a baptismal corner in which the child is introduced to the signs of the rite of baptism. And then there's an area for parables and for infancy narratives.
Okay, so as an example, in the area of baptism, what might we see?
There will be a small table with a small miniature Paschal candle, a small baptismal font, the Bible, two vials of oil, and a small shell for using to pour the water over. We use our hands instead of a baby because it helps us focus more on the actual rite of baptism than on maybe playing with a doll or some other.
So there's no dolls in that corner then. So then, if I remember correctly, when I did visit and receive some training at in an atrium in one of the local parishes, that there was just such a great sense of respect, and there was a calmness and a peace. And so these young kids would go in, they would maybe shake the hand of the catechist, and they would call him by name, and they would ask them to enter the atrium. The kids would, at that moment, in this particular instance, sit in a little circle, listen to a lesson, and then they'd be able to, let's say, set up the baptismal area. So they'd actually be able to handle the manipulatives and the candle and the shell and things like that. So I saw the excitement in the kids' faces. Not only that, they were able to put back all of the items, and so they were taught responsibility And now they weren't able to light the fire, light that candle. Now, there were also some things I learned, and they were in the areas of practical life. And I had mentioned earlier, I had no idea why I was cleaning a leaf on a plant in religion class. But, you know, there's something more to that. So can you please share with me the reasoning behind the exercises of practical life?
Well, these are small exercises in giving the child something to work with their hands in order to teach them self-control and motor coordination. We increase gradually the difficulty of these exercises, and it helps the child to prolong their concentration span as well as develop self-control. It also helps to integrate the body and mind and spirit. In a nutshell, it's preparation for prayer.
So they're able to use all of their mind, body, and soul, their whole being, to focus on cleaning this leaf, this gift from God. And in you saying that, it reminded me of my 5-year-old when she was 3. They would teach her how to move like 10 beads from one area to another area, and then with little pliers. And then she'd have to move them back. And they were focusing on that concentration piece and that coordination piece. And that it was just fascinating to see that, because others might not think it's important to focus on that. So what would you say to that?
Well, the young child thinks it's very important, and it raises their self-esteem when they've been given some work that they can freely choose. And then they have such a great sense of accomplishment when they see that they're progressing in their self-control and in their motor coordination. And this is the source of all that peace that you see in the atrium.
Wonderful. Now, there's some exciting things happening here in the diocese in terms of training, and we have just almost hundreds of teachers that have been trained over many years, and there's many levels of this training. So speak to me about training to become a catechist for Catechesis of the Good Shepherd.
Well, we call the training that we go through formation, because it's very retreat-like. And there are 3 levels in the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd based on the age of the child. But all catechists begin at the very basic level, because that's the roots of our faith, the essentials. Each course for each, there are 3 levels. There's 2 courses for each level, part 1 and part 2. Each half takes about 45 hours. Most people undergo the formation in the summer or over weekends. But again, it's like going on a long weekend retreat.
So there are many teachers invested in this formation. So you do have some phenomenal numbers of how many people are attending. Can you kind of give us an overview?
Sure. We began doing formation in 1997 with just 9 participants. And by 2003, we had 33 participants. But just this past week at St. Philip the Apostle, they finished a formation course with 58 participants in Level 1, Part 1.
Why do you think people are so excited about this program?
I think they see that the beauty of the relationship between God and the child, but they also see that they are on a journey along with this child, and that it speaks to their heart as well.
If you wanted to encourage someone to just take a look at Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, what words of encouragement would you offer them?
Well, there is a national website that they could go to, but they could also visit one of the parishes or schools that are currently doing Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, and they can observe a catechist or borrow some reading material.
Now, what about those potential catechists out there who are just waiting for that invitation, or maybe they're just a little hesitant? Maybe they're worried about all of this training they have to go to or formation. How would you encourage them to get involved?
I would start by observing. I would contact a catechist at a church that is doing Catechesis of the Good Shepherd and see if you could observe and read about it first.
Now, Sandra, I can imagine with all of this great information on Catechesis of the Good Shepherd, people are getting excited, the listeners are getting excited, and they want to learn more. So what type of resources would you send them to?
There are a few books out there that are helpful for people to get more information on the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. The first one is Listening to God with Children. It was written by Gianna Gobbi, the Montessorian who helped to begin Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. Her partner, Dr. Sophia Cavaletti, has written a book called The Religious Potential of the Child, and it speaks more in depth about the theology of our, well, of our faith and what we're trying to do with children and introduce the faith to them. There's another book called The Catechesis of the Good Shepherd in a Parish Setting by Tina Lillig that is very helpful for someone who might be contemplating bringing the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd to their parish, and it's written with the pastor and the catechists in mind.
I want to end with just going back to that potential in the child, that religious potential in the child, and how they have this wonderful ability to relate to all things spiritual, which kind of sometimes goes away with us adults when the secular world gets a hold of us. So I just want to hear once again, what do you see when you see these children interact with a Montessori method and catechesis of the Good Shepherd?
Well, the children just have a great capacity to see beyond what you're visualizing. They have a great capacity for the transcendent and for this relationship with God. And it's expressed in a joy that's not just a happy joy that you might see at a birthday party, but a peaceful, serene, comfortable joy.
Genuine joy,
genuine.
I would say. Which is not fleeting, like you said. Something at the birthday party is fleeting for those 2-3 hours that they're hitting the piñata and enjoying themselves. This is something that remains with them.
It's lasting, that's right.
And so it's important that the catechists receive this formation and that the parents are invested in this formation for their children. I want to thank you so much for joining us. Stay with us. Sacred Moments with Deacon Nolte is up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
As we age, we often reach a point where we feel that we must make up for things that we might have done or perhaps failed to do. We get caught up believing that our arms are wrapped around the future, even as our backs are firmly set against the past. The most important thing we can do is to accept that this present moment will not last, that like every other moment, it too will slip into a past that cannot be changed. We need to beware of a future which will arrive carrying with it the burden of our regrets. For this reason, it's imperative for us to accept that we cannot change the past, that we cannot live in the what-ifs, and that the most we can hope for is to impact the future by changing this very moment in which we live. In Western society, roughly half of all marriages end in divorce, leading to the breakup of families. As a result, many young people learn at a tender age what it is to lose someone close to them. Because of the distances between family members, more and more people use social media to stay connected. This means that for many, the only interaction they have with family members involves looking at a screen rather than meeting them face to face. Then when something happens, we find ourselves relegated to making excuses why we fail to be aware of another's illnesses or needs. Regret begins to take over. Anxiety sets in, and we lose all hope of joy and happiness. Jesus told his disciples not to worry, not to have such anxieties and regrets. He said, "I tell you, do not worry about your life and what you will eat, or about your body and what you will wear. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Notice the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, yet God feeds them. How much more important are you than birds? Can any of you, by worrying, add a moment to your lifespan? If even the smallest things are beyond your control, why are you anxious about the rest?" Jesus wanted to reassure us so that we would spend our energy for the building up of the kingdom of God. When it comes to doing good, what lies behind us and what lies before us are small matters compared to what lies within us. John reports Jesus as telling the disciples, "I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy away from you. And again, ask in my name, and you will receive, so that your joy may be complete. This is the same thing that he desires for us, a life full of complete joy. According to St. Paul, we have a perpetual vocation to rejoice always, something he told the Thessalonians in his first letter to them. It seems as though Jesus and his apostles knew a thing or two about distress. And why wouldn't they? They walked from town to town, often taking several days to get from one to the next. They slept under the stars in the open, without a place to lay their heads. They were threatened by the authorities who wanted to stone them, and in spite of it all, they knew great joy serving the Lord. May your trust be in the Lord, and your sacred moments filled with joy, for where your treasure is, there also will your heart be. Amen.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Dr. Sandra McCutcheon, for speaking to us about Catechesis of the Good Shepherd. If you would like more information, please visit their website at cgsusa.org. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.